Our world has little to give us hope, but I am so glad that through Jesus Christ we have hope. Amen. I appreciate the choir singing that. And again, I'm not going to be able to, or wasn't before service, to get to each of you and to get to meet you. I'm going to try to do that after service in the foyer, but we're certainly glad to have each of our guests with us, and it just made our day special with your being here. We're going to turn our hearts now to something eternal, and that's the Word of God. And in a hopeless world, it's good to have God's Word, because that's the only thing that can make sense out of it all and give us hope. So if you turn in your scriptures this morning to Ephesians chapter 2, I'm just going to read one verse. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. I always try to think of things that perhaps from the viewpoint of those that aren't accustomed to our way of worship, and you may have began to figure it out, but now we're going to stand. Okay. So if you join me in standing as we read the word, and then we'll be seated. You won't be standing through the message. We're just going to stand in honor of God's word. And I'm going to read one verse, but there's a place in the Bible they stood for hours as the man of God read the word. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul said, and this would include almost all of us, he was talking in particular to the Gentiles, the non-Jew, and he said that at that time ye were without Christ, without Jesus, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He said that was your condition. It wasn't at the time he wrote this, but that had been your condition. And I want you to notice two phrases here, and I'm going to put them together without the intervening words. He said, without Christ, having no hope. Without Christ, having no hope. To be without Christ, he says, is to be without hope. And I want you to know, we're going to pray, but the Bible always gets it right when it describes the condition of man. It always gets it right. Psychologists get it wrong. Philosophers get it wrong. The colleges get it wrong. The politicians get it wrong. But when the Bible speaks to the nature of man, it always gets it right. And the condition of man is to be without Christ, is to be without hope. But when you meet Christ, you meet hope. How many has that hope this morning? One note of caution before we pray. I'm going to talk about having hope, and you may say, but I don't feel hopeless. That changes nothing from the condition of man. You may say, I don't feel hopeless, but the fact of the matter is, without Christ, you have no hope. You have no basis for hope. You have no reason to be optimistic. You have no reason to believe in a better day. But if you have Jesus, I'm preaching the positive. To have Jesus is to have hope. Hallelujah. Church, would you lift your hearts with me? Let's pray over the Word of God today. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for our guest. Shut up our hearts in this place, and may we sense an eternal moment. Holy Spirit of God, compel me to speak. Lord, may your gospel, the good news of what you've done for man, Lord, done for humankind, Lord, it'll come through the preaching this morning. You know every individual here. You know every individual situation. You know every struggle, everything that's going on in the mind and the heart. And Lord, in your love and your compassion, you've brought folks here this morning to speak personally and individually with them. And I pray that you would do that right now in the name of Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated. Having hope. Years ago, I read of an incident off the East Coast. There was a naval accident, and a submarine began to sink. It lost power. It was dark. It began to sink. And they had sent, before they began to sink, they had sent out the beacon call that they were having trouble. And so the ships began to come to that area, but then they lost all contact with that submarine. And it sank further and further in the darkness of the ocean. And finally it came to rest in the depths. Even without the power, the air hadn't ran out yet. And by that time, the naval ships had come. They quickly got the divers in their suits and let them down at the site where the submarine was now resting on the bottom. And at first they didn't know if they would find any life there, but as they began to swim along the hull of that submarine, they came to a place that they could hear tapping. And they listened for a while. And I don't know if they had special listening devices or what, but they heard tapping. And it was those sailors who'd been trained as part of their training in the Morse code. And they were tapping out in Morse code over and over, "Help." And they would follow that cry for help with this question: "Is there any hope?" Tapped out in Morse code, tapped out from that darkness, tapped out from being trapped there in that hole of the submarine over and over. Brother Wilson, they tapped it out. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? You know, I believe that is a condition of so many folks in our world. They're trapped in their situation. They're trapped in their condition. Things have went wrong in their life. There's nothing but darkness in their home. Nothing but darkness in their life. Nothing but darkness in their thinking. And they may not even be able to voice it, but if we would listen to their hearts this morning, I believe we'd hear the same question: is there any hope? Is there any hope for me? Is there any hope for my marriage? Is there any hope for my family? Is there any hope for our society? Is there any hope for the world? Is there any hope? I would like to say, or I don't like to say, but I want to tell you, for those in the submarine, the answer was no. There was no hope. They perished a physical death. But for those asking this question this morning, I want to tell you with all certainty and surety, the answer to the question, is there any hope? The answer is yes, there is hope. Not in man, not in our governments, not in the things of this world, but there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope for your life. There is hope for your home. There is hope for your marriage. There is hope for eternity. There is hope for the condition you find yourself in through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's why we sang, "I'm glad I know who Jesus is." We knocked on a door yesterday and the lady wouldn't let us in, and her husband wasn't home. "What are you here for?" "We're here to invite folks to church." She said, "Good, because my husband really needs it." She said, "Leave the material and I'll make sure he comes." I don't know if you've snuck in or not. I'd be glad to have it if you. But you know, the thing is, people are looking for hope. And it's not just our husband, our spouse, our neighbor. It's us. We need hope. I'm glad it's to be found in Jesus Christ. Like those in that submarine, many feel trapped in the darkness of their life. You know, I never want to bring up unpleasant memories, but this is a fact that we live in. Our society is alarmed because suicide rates are up astronomically. And now there are actually for the last 2 years, there have been more suicide deaths than vehicle deaths. And that approaches 40,000 a year. And when people are questioned, the people of their lives are questioned, or even those themselves, they said the number one reason for suicide is the loss of hope. The number one reason is the loss of hope. I'm telling you, you live in this world, you live without God, you live without anything eternal. Your situation will look hopeless. Your relationships will look hopeless. Your job may look hopeless. Financial condition, medical condition may seem hopeless. And it goes beyond that, because soon your future will look hopeless. And if you believe in eternity, your eternity will look hopeless. And you'll join those in that submarine hole. Is there any hope? I've been there when the medical physicians have met with the family, and the patient is still breathing, the patient is still talking, but the physician will say, this is grave. And a question that the family will ask, or the spouse will ask the physician, is there any hope? And it's an awful thing to hear that physician to say, no, we can try this or that, but there's never any hope. And it doesn't have to be medical sickness, physical sickness. How many's been there at the garage when the mechanic told you there was no hope for that vehicle? You're just hoping a water pump would fix it, and he shakes your head, his head, and says, no, it needs a new engine, and it ain't worth fixing. By the way, I want to insert right here, God never says that of a person's life. He never says it's not worth fixing. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to know that? The doctor may say there's no hope. The mechanic may say there's no hope. The psychologist may say there's no hope. Amen. The specialist, economic, financial specialist may say there's no hope. But I'm here to say this morning, through Jesus Christ, there is hope. Not just hope in general, but there is hope for you and for me. You know, I want to talk about this just briefly, and I'm going to move on. But you know, the Bible talks about the danger of putting hope in men. And if you're in a situation or have a situation that's hopeless, I want to ask you, do you really feel like you can put hope in a government official? How will that work out? You know, we got so many people that follow stars. Do you think you could put any hope in a movie star or a singing star? How many can take a cursory look at their lives and tell that they don't have any hope in their lives? Can you put your hope in science? Can you put your hope in any of these things? I mean, it may not be a huge thing. Some of you young people say, I got a test tomorrow and I have no hope of passing. Hallelujah. Maybe bills you got piled up on the desk at home and no hope of paying. Maybe it's a relationship and we're becoming more serious here, but there's no hope for that relationship. No hope from freedom from the addictions in your life. I get these pictures sometimes when I think of the condition of people, and I see someone sitting in the darkness, never bothered to turn the light on when it grew dark outside, and they're wringing their hands. They're sick of their addiction, but they don't know how. They have no hope of being set free. I think of somebody wrestling in bed, turning from one side to the other. Amen. Without hope, not knowing what they're going to do about their relationship. I think of those that have been betrayed, a spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a parent, a child, betrayed by the one that they loved, lonely, alone, and hopeless. I think of young people being made fun of at school, being bullied, and being told they're ugly and this or that, and they go home, get off the bus each day, and they're filled with a sense of hopelessness. I think of those that have been abused and molested, shut into that world of darkness, feeling like there's no hope. I think of those that have lost their job, they've lost their home, feeling like there's no hope. And that's why I want to say to them this morning, in the world there is no hope, but above the world is hope in Jesus Christ. You can have hope if you'll have Jesus. You say, what is this hope you're talking about? Well, the dictionary says it's a desire, expectation that you can be confident in having. In other words, it's something you're expecting and you're confident it will take place. What is hope? It's someone or something that you can put your confidence in. That's why I say there's no hope, because for most people, there's nobody or no thing you can put your confidence, put your trust in. Can I tell you, you can trust Jesus. In fact, one of the favorite songs of the church church is 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the word or the Lord. Amen. You see, that's hope, when you can put your confidence in someone. And so I want to ask you this morning, do you have that hope? Do you have that trust? Do you have that confidence? Can you believe you'll ever get it right in your life? Can you believe they'll ever be a better day for you? Can you trust anybody in your life? If not, you will admit you have no hope. But I want to tell you, there's hope. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I want to show you a picture, and I want you to ask yourself, how can there be any hope in this? I wanted you to see this picture afresh of a man that has been beaten, a man that is bleeding, a man that is dying, a man that is hanging on the cross. And I want to tell you, right there in that scene of torture, in that scene that's bloody, I want to tell you, there is our hope. Hallelujah. Right there is our hope. Jesus Christ, he faced the worst and came through it. Hallelujah. He, in his death and resurrection, is the only hope you'll find. Hallelujah. And I wanted you to ask the question, because I'm going to very quickly answer it. How can this be a reason for hope? I'm going to give you three quick answers. Number one, this picture of the cross, of Jesus hanging there, tells me some things. It tells me Jesus knows the worst that I am, and yet he loves me. He knows the worst that I am, and yet he loves me. You see, often we lose hope in life, in our situation, because when we're honest with ourselves, we see everything that is wrong with us. We see our hang-ups. We see our bad habits. We see our failures, our faults, the wrongs we've done to others. We see our despair and discouragement. We even see our hatefulness and our selfishness and our jealousies and our bitterness. We know our inabilities. We know our handicaps. We know our lack. But I'm telling you, there is hope, because Jesus knew all those things too. But he went to the cross to die for us in spite of knowing what he knew about us. I'm telling you, Jesus knows the worst about me, and yet he loves me. Therefore, there is hope for me. And I want to make it personal for you. Amen. You may be thinking of the things that's wrong with your life, but I want to tell you, Jesus knows the worst about you, and yet he has proven that he loves you. He loved you enough to give his very life. That's reason to hope. Paul the apostle said, for scarcely a righteous man, for a righteous man will one die. Perhaps for a good man some will even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So often I'm faced with people, their lives are in a mess, and they'll say something like, when I get my life straightened up, then I'll get in church. When I get my life straightened up, then I'll meet Jesus and I'll serve Jesus. The answer is, you can't get your life straightened up. You can't get your mess straightened up. But if you'll come to Jesus, you can know that he loves you with the mess of your life, and he'll be able to love you right out of the mess of your life. He knew the worst about you and me, but he loved us. I heard on the radio the old song this week. He knew me, yet he loved me. While he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's hope. He knew the worst about me, yet he loved me. He died for me. Secondly, he's been hanging on the cross. That tells me he knows the worst that I've ever done, and yet he forgives me. I'm telling you, there's reason for hope. A normal person don't go around bragging about all the wrong they've done. And I want you to know, unless we have overridden that feeling, or unless we have numbed the feeling with addictions and alcohol and drink, or unless we've become so callous that we don't even care anymore, everybody in this building, if they will reflect, they will come to things that they have done that they are so ashamed of. We're not going to list any of those things. We're not going to ask you to send them by email so we can put them on the wall. But everybody here, if you would reflect, there's things from your past that you are extremely ashamed of. You've done wrong, not only in the eyes of God. You've hurt people. You've done shameful things, perhaps in the darkness. That's why one of the Psalms I love is, "Remember not, O God, the sins of my youth." Wicked things, perhaps, bad things. I've heard people say to me, "If you knew what I have done, you would think that I could never be saved. If you knew what I had done, you'd think there's no hope for me. If you knew what I had done in my past, you would believe that God wants nothing to do with me." And I have to shout to that, "No, no, no, you are wrong." Because that's the reason Jesus went to the cross. He knew the very worst that you had done. He knew the very worst thing, the most shameful thing you've ever done, and yet he went to the cross to die for that thing that you could be forgiven. I want to shout it one more time. He knows the worst that I've done, and yet he forgives me. You could bring it up this morning. You could say, "But Pastor, I've done this and that." I'd say, "Look at the cross. He has forgiven you if you would but accept it. You don't know how evil it was. You don't know how shameful it was. I may not. You don't know how embarrassed I am. Perhaps not. But I can tell you this. He knew the worst that you've done, and he'll forgive you." Jesus, hanging from the cross, said of the very being that was crucifying him, "Father," finish it with me, "Father, forgive them," as he hanged there. You see, that hurtful thing, that shameful thing, that degrading thing, that addicting thing that holds you back in life, that thing that's convinced you you could never be a good person, you could never have a good life, that thing, that very thing, Jesus will forgive you if you'll but ask him. The apostle said, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I believe that. I remember a lady one time, and I hadn't planned to share this, but never forget the evening she came in and began to weep. She told me, she says, "I've been a very wicked person. I've done things I'm so ashamed of." That night I preached and gave the altar call. She came and prayed right here. I mean, she wasn't down 5 minutes, and we instructed her, "Confess your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." In just about 5 minutes, her face lit up like a light bulb. You could see the load just come off her life. And she jumped up and said, "You mean that's it? You mean I'm saved? You mean I'm forgiven?" And I was glad I could look at her and said, "Yes, I can tell you you're forgiven. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah." See, that thing was bad, but he went to the cross to die for that thing. That's why there's hope for your situation. Amen. What other religion, what other philosophy of this world could give you the assurance that you could be forgiven of your past? Then I'd like to say there's hope because he knows the worst that's been done to me, and yet he heals me. You know, I want to tell you the truth. People have had horrible things happen to them. They've been physically abused. They've been molested. They've been betrayed. They've been manipulated. You know, sometimes the statistics are alarming, and some research shows that in our society today, between 3 to 4 people as children will be abused. Those are alarming. I didn't say out of what, did I? Let me go back here. Did I say out of what? I didn't. 3 to 4 out of 5 children will be abused in our society today. I'm telling you, there's wickedness out there. Why do people put their trust in the world when it's so dark? It's so evil. All the venues of media, evil and wickedness and darkness, and bad things happen to people. And I want to tell you what happens when bad things happen to us. We feel marked. We feel used. We feel second-handed. We feel damaged. I mean, even in this room, there's folks that feel hopeless. They feel damaged because of the wrong done to them. They've been ill-treated, mistreated. Now, I want to say up front, I do not minimize the awful things that has happened to you. But you do not have to settle for a bitter life. I don't minimize how badly you've been hurt. But you don't have to settle for a second-rate existence. Always ruining your life because of what somebody else has done to you. You don't have to keep failing in life, handicapped by a victim mentality. You don't know the wrong. Again, I do not minimize the wrong that's been done to you, but I'm telling you, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He can heal body. He can heal mind. He can heal emotions. He can heal the innermost person of who you are. There is hope because he knows the worst that's been done to you, and yet he can heal you. Jesus died on the cross to heal. All that wrong that he suffered was so that he could heal our wrong. The wounds that were inflicted upon him were that we could be healed of our wounds. In the New Testament, Peter said, Jesus, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. By his stripes. That's why I told you that picture of that man beaten with stripes. There's hope in that, because by his stripes we are healed. Look, I'm not trying to be cruel or mean, but our whole society says if something bad's been done to you, scream and holler, make a fuss, blame somebody, and go around through life saying, I'm a victim, I can't because of this, I can't because of that. You may be a victim. I do not minimize that. I'm not taking away from the wrong that's done. I'm just saying whatever's been done, however you've been ill-treated, abused, misused, and betrayed, bring your brokenness to Jesus, because he has been ultimately broken. Bring your wounds to Jesus. He has been wounded. Amen. Bring it to Jesus and know the healing hands of the man from Galilee who can heal your heart and make you a person of joy. He'll take those garments of mourning and give you garments of joy. Hallelujah. Last of all, he knows the worst that I will face, and he's made a way through it. I'm talking about reasons to hope. It would floor us to know some of the things people are facing this week. Now, I've talked a lot about what we've done wrong and what's been done to us, but I'm telling you, through no fault of their own, bad things happen to people. Bad things happen to good people. This week, we've had the shooting in the Naval Yard at Washington. Bad things. We have the constant reminder that people are born with handicaps. We have the natural calamities. We've had the flooding in Colorado. Now we have the storm that's bearing down upon Hong Kong, even as we're in service. We have evil that comes to a home, and the murders and the rapes and the abuse. I want to tell you both, as believers, and perhaps you've not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to tell you that anybody that says to you, become a Christian, it'll solve all your life's problems. Become a Christian, it'll exempt you from suffering and difficulties. Anybody that'll tell you that, I don't care how big their television audience is, they're lying to you. Bad things happen, even to good people. So how can we have hope in Christ? I could make it really simple. Because he said, even when bad things happen, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, we can have hope because the Lord knows the worst that I'll ever face, but he's already made a way of escape through it. He'll take you through. Please, you've got to understand, I want folks to come to me as pastor. I do empathize. I do understand when they talk about how hard they're having it. I do not take that lightly. I take that to the Lord in prayer. But that's no reason to give up and to quit serving the Lord, because we have His promise that when things get rough, He'll stand right beside us. He'll take us by the hand and He'll bring us through. Oh, I'm telling you, that's hope in a hopeless situation. Your night doesn't get too dark that He can't show up and brighten it. Hallelujah. Without Christ, there's no real hope when bad things happen. Because without Christ, there's no consolation. There's no comfort. There's no strength. Without Christ, you can never believe that anything is ever going to be better. Without Christ, there's no reason to believe that good can happen in the bad things of your life. Without Christ, there's no reason to believe that it's going to end up well and turn out good. But Jesus, hanging on the cross, said, "I'm hanging here. I'll make a way that you can go through it. I will go before you. I will walk before you, and yet at the same time, I'll walk by your side each step." The writer of the Hebrews had a handle on this. He said, when things get hard, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Amen. When things get rough, look to Jesus. He'll start you on this road, and He'll help you finish this road. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. I tell you this morning, give your life to Jesus, whatever a mess you may be in, however difficult it may be, and suddenly you'll have a friend that sticketh close than a brother. You'll have a confidant. You'll have a light in darkness. You'll have somebody that'll hold your hand and help you through the hard time. He, not just for a moment, not just for a few days. He'll take you all the way through this life into an eternity with Him. He'll get you there. Hallelujah. That's hope. He knows the worst that can happen to me, and yet He has promised, "I'll be with you and I'll take you through." So when I ask, is there a reason for hope? As the music gets ready to come, you say, "That's not me. You talk about hopeless. I'm okay with who I am. I'm okay with my life. I'm okay living for myself and nothing higher. I'm okay with things I've done. I can justify it. I'm okay with my life. There's nothing big happening. I've got a partner. I've got a good job. I have my hobbies." That's all rooted right here. What about a hope of eternal life? What about a hope of standing before the Creator, hearing, "Well done"? Amen. You say, "I don't need help. My life's going well. I don't feel despair or hopelessness." If that's you, then you're in far worse shape than you know. Because you see, you got to realize, if you're saying, "I don't need Jesus," you put your hope in something else. And I can promise you, whatever besides God that you put your hope in is going to disappoint you. It's going to let you down. It's going to tumble. But if you put your hope in Jesus, through eternity, you'll know the joys of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many has put their hope in the Lord? Hallelujah. You know, one of the images I could not get from my mind as I prepared this sermon, we just went through the remembrance of 9/11. And even that day when I saw it live, it just made you shudder all over. The images of those that were, they won't even show them now, I don't think, or very rarely, but those that were trapped in the upper stories of the burning towers, no hope of rescue. No helicopters could get that close. The firemen couldn't get up the stairwells to get to them. They knew there was no hope, no way out. And to watch them, Brother Wilson, because of the pain that was in that tower, to leap out of the building. What a horrible thing. Maybe not in a physical sense, but over and over I see people whose lives are so hopeless. And for momentary relief, they make that leap into something else, only to leap into a worse destruction. But I want to tell you this morning, You don't have to change one hopeless situation for another. You can leave that place of hopelessness and flee to Jesus. He's got merciful arms open. You see, we got to get one thing straight. He doesn't just give hope. He is our hope. Our hope is in the Lord. I'll tell you one more time. He knows the worst about me, yet He loves me. He knows the worst that I've done, yet He forgives me. He knows the worst that's been done to me, and yet He heals me. He knows the worst that I'm going to face, but He's promised to be with me. My hope is in the Lord. Could you stand across the building? Let's pray all over the building. Could you join me in prayer? Hallelujah. Father, this morning, You know whom You're drawing. You know whom You're speaking to, Lord, this morning. God, You love us so. We have no doubt that You love us when we see how You suffered on that cross. Church, I want you to pray with me that the Holy Spirit would move all over this building, that eternal Spirit. If you're here this morning without Jesus, that you feel as the Holy Spirit drawing you to your Creator, your Redeemer, the one Jesus that died that you could have hope. Father, I pray as You move by Your Spirit that there would be folks that would say yes to You. I need You, Jesus. I'm tired of a hopeless life. I'm tired of a hopeless situation. I need You, Jesus. I've got to have Your help. There's no way out of this that I'm in. There's no cause and reason for hope. And so, Lord, I give You my life. I give You my heart. I give You myself this morning. Hallelujah. We use a step up front as a place to kneel and to talk to God. If you're here this morning, you'd say, that's me. I got a hopeless situation. However you want to say it, something bad's happened to me. I see no way out. It's dark in my life. I would invite you just to make it into an aisle near you and come down that aisle. And if you'll kneel at this step, there'll be folks that'll come and pray with you. But if you just say, I see, I need Jesus. I need eternal help. Amen. I'm tired. I'm tired of that thing. I mean, I'm not trying to make everybody bad, but we know it's true. All of us have that thing in our past that we want forgiven of. I want to invite you right now. Would you come? Amen. Would you come right now? You say, I feel hopeless. I feel hopeless. I need Jesus. Would you come? Would you come and kneel at this altar and say, I accept Jesus into my life today. If He died for me, if He gave His life for me, I want to give myself to Him. He is my hope. Amen. Would you come anywhere in the building? You say, I need Jesus. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. You see, above a temporal world, above material world, there are spiritual forces in battle for the souls of men. Don't let the dark force win. Let Jesus win. Say, Lord, I give You my life. I need You, Jesus. Anyone here feel your need of Jesus? Would you come to this altar and say, Lord, here I am. I need the hope. Are you asking the question this morning? Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Amen. I want you to tell you, yes, there is. Would you come and pray right here at this altar? Jesus will meet you here. He'll change your life. He'll change your future. He'll change your eternity, because that's what He's come to do. Do you need Him this morning? Would you, without hesitation, come? Anyone in the building? Hallelujah. Father, we commit this congregation to You. God, You know whom You're speaking to. Lord, I pray You'd give the strength, oh Lord, to make that motion of decision. I come and I give my life to the Lord. Amen. Just going to pause for another moment. Amen. Would you come right now? Don't hesitate. It's the destroyer of your soul that would encourage you to hesitate. But the life giver this morning would say, come, come to me. Are you here? Anyone in the building? Hallelujah. I want to invite the church to begin to come and pray. It's our custom. And as they're coming, amen, perhaps you would find yourself with them and just coming and kneeling, and somebody will be here to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Thank you again for coming. We'd really like to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Amen. Come as the church prays, bows before you, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. He's able to save to the uttermost. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you need hope? Do you need Jesus? Jesus. Oh, Jesus is right. Jesus is hope. You need the Lord, but you Jesus give your life to Him.
Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life.
Say, my life is a mess. Jesus is your hope.
Give Him a chance.
There's not hope to be found elsewhere.
That every promise He made is true.
Oh, Jesus is right.
Jesus is right.
For whatever's wrong.
Whatever's wrong in your life.
In your life. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus is right.
Oh, Jesus is right.
For whatever's wrong.
Do you need Him? Do you need hope?
Life.
Jesus is your hope. Jesus is your hope.
Jesus is right. For whatever's wrong in your life.
Just give Him a chance. Spirit of God,
Jesus
move.
Is right.
Spirit of God, touch
whatever's
hearts and lives.
Wrong
Spirit of God, breathe
life.
Upon your people. Spirit of God, move upon hearts. We need you, Jesus.
Jesus is right.
We need you, Jesus.
Whatever's wrong
we need
in
you,
your
Jesus.
Life.
We need you, Jesus. The great forgiver.
Jesus is
oh,
right.
Oh, the great forgiver.
Whatever's
Thank
wrong
you, Jesus.
In your life.
Thank you, Jesus. Hope in the Lord.
Give Him a chance.
Just give Him a chance.
And He will prove that every
oh,
promise
hallelujah.
He made is true. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus is right
oh,
for whatever's
hallelujah.
Wrong in your life.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life.
Jesus. My hope is in the Lord.
Give Him a chance.
Oh, Jesus.
And He will prove that
hallelujah.
Every promise He made is true.
Oh, bless you.
Jesus
name.
Is right for whatever's wrong in your life.
Oh, give Jesus a chance.
Jesus is right.
What hope of tomorrow?
Whatever's wrong.
What hope of eternity without Jesus? There is no hope. But with Him we have hope.
Jesus is right.
Hallelujah.
Whatever's wrong.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Give Him a chance.
Just give Him a chance.
And He will prove.
Oh,
that every
hallelujah.
Promise He made is true. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever. For whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right. For whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right. For whatever's wrong in your life. Just give Him a chance. Is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Give him a chance and he will prove that every promise he made is true. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in